Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here and to follow Minister Yang and his talk. I've been asked to talk about the context within which the question of UK-China R&D collaboration now arises. That's a task I'm very happy to try to perform in a brief set of observations, though one could easily spend some days, let alone some hours on it. I was thinking about how to crystallize this into 10 minutes, this vast area, and I want to make really three points and then to draw out the implication of those three points. The first point is that in contrast to some other periods of global history, we are in a period in which geoeconomics is unmistakably driving geopolitics. That isn't to say that there are no actors that are interested in geopolitics for its own sake. This very day I have been sanctioned by Moscow, and so I'm aware that there are players in the global scene whose interests are not primarily economic and who are still being guided by territorial ambitions and things of that sort. But by and large, in the great scheme of things, it's geoeconomics which is driving geopolitics today rather than vice versa. If you want a quick proof of that, which I suspect is hardly necessary, as I doubt there's anyone here who really would question that proposition. But if you do want a quick proof of it, it seems to be abundantly clear that the strategic rivalry between the US and China, which of course there is debate both in Beijing and in Washington between people of differing dispositions with differing emphases, but broadly there is strategic rivalry between the US and China, and it's pretty bipartisan in the US, and it's pretty widely spread in Beijing, and it's essentially a geoeconomic rivalry that's going on. It's a question of whose grip on the world's economy will be greater and who will outcompete whom. It's not the old Cold War. It's not a direct ideological strife, although there are different values in governing the two systems, certainly. But actually, that's not the root of the matter. The root of the matter is there is a geoeconomic rivalry going on. We've seen that before in world history. It's broadly what happened as between the UK and Germany as an incumbent leader of the world's economy. The UK and its empire were challenged by a rising economic power, Germany, and rather interestingly, an unnoticed United States rising in economics in the beginning of the 20th century. So similarly, also India now appears as a major figure in the global rivalries because its geoeconomic position is enormously significant. So first proposition is geoeconomics is driving geopolitics rather than vice versa. Second proposition, and this is really new, although it has precedents of various kinds, I think it is to an unprecedented scale true that it's certain critical foundational technologies that are driving geoeconomics. Of course, the Industrial Revolution that led to 250 years of Western supremacy and left the Indians in the hands of the British Empire and led to what many in China regard as grotesque forms of humiliation over a long period, was a technological revolution. So in that sense, this is precedented. But that was a widespread technological revolution, covered almost every aspect of industrial production. And although it was coal-based, the technologies were enormously various. Today, the foundational technologies that are driving geoeconomics are much more concentrated. There are people in this room that know far more about this than I, and I'm certainly not going to give some absurd attempt to lecture this audience about it. But again, if one is looking for simply one salient example, it seems to be very clear that AI and big data are absolutely at the center of the economic rivalry that's going on as between US firms and Chinese firms. They are also absolutely at the center of the next wave of the industrial and post-industrial revolutions. He who controls the data, he who is able to exploit the data through AI, has the capacity to transform almost every aspect of human life on Earth over coming decades. And this is well recognized, both in the West and in China, and indeed while we're at it in India and elsewhere. And those foundational technologies are therefore central to driving geopolitics. The third proposition I want to advance brings me to the point of this seminar, which is that because of the nature of the foundational technologies that are driving geoeconomics, science, deep science, is at the heart of geoeconomics and geopolitics to a degree and in a way that has never previously been true on Earth. Again, I'm standing in the Royal Academy of Engineering, and I have no doubt that there are present people who know a thousand or maybe a million times more than I do about the old technologies of the steam engine and Arkwright's spinning jenny and Stephenson's rocket and all the rest of it. But my distinct impression is that speaking as someone that finished doing science at A level, that even I can understand the scientific principles behind those devices of the 19th century. They were essentially engineering rather than science. Today, although of course the engineers are very important, actually the scientists are incredibly important and are at the center of what we are now seeing. And so basic research and the translation of basic research into more and more applied fields is absolutely at the center of the capacity to win the geoeconomic struggle and hence at the center of geopolitics. So those are my three propositions, that the context we're in is one where geoeconomics is running driving geopolitics. Second, that the foundational technologies, a few foundational technologies are at the center of geoeconomics. And third, that science and research and development of basic science are at the heart of geoeconomics. Now that is a striking context within which to consider the question, how far can and should China and the UK collaborate in research and development? Because to collaborate in research and development against that background is, of course, to play on a field that is absolutely at the center of geopolitics. It's impossible to regard it simply as an activity with scientific consequences and consequences for humanity. It also has geoeconomic consequences and geopolitical consequences of the greatest possible kind. So the question is, in the light of all that, what attitude should we take? And here I move from what I hope would be a widely shared analysis, which I think is broadly simply the truth, to my own personal tendentious and very possibly controversial view about how we should handle this. My view is that without collaboration, not just between the UK and China, of course, but between the West and China as a whole, in these foundational technologies, given their centrality, and in the basic science and the research required for it and the development required of it, that leads to these advances in these foundational technologies, without such collaboration, we are inevitably going to head in the opposite direction towards increasing decoupling and a separation of economies in which the West broadly becomes an economy and is separate from the Chinese economy and Chinese sphere of influence. And apart from the fact that I think that direction of change is likely significantly to impoverish both the Chinese and the West, and therefore, actually, while we're at it, the rest of the world, which depends on the prosperity both of China and of the West now, and which is much in need of help. The poorest people on earth depend even more on the continued coupling of the Chinese and Western economies to produce the degree of growth which is required in order to provide economic prospects for the global South. Apart from all of that, apart from the fact that increasing decoupling through lack of collaboration in these foundational technologies will impoverish everyone on Earth, I think there is an even bigger problem, which is that as decoupling occurs, instead of the trust that Minister Yang was talking about, increasing distrust is bound to occur. As people separate, as they decouple from one another, as they cease to collaborate with one another, they become increasingly unable to understand one another and hence become increasingly inclined to distrust one another. And that distrust is a very grave danger, in my view, alongside the impoverishment that beckons, and beyond that, much beyond that, it's a very grave danger because it can all too easily lead to confrontation and finally to military confrontation. The whole history of the world is one in which, as a rising power meets an incumbent power, lack of trust is very dangerous. So my final proposition is that the only way we stand any serious chance of managing competitive rivalries, and there will be competitive rivalries in a situation where these foundational technologies are being fought over economically and having their geopolitical effects, the only way we stand a chance of managing that geo-economic and geopolitical competition is to ensure that there is continues to be a large and growing amount of organized and sophisticated collaboration, in which, however, each side needs to be operating with their eyes open, conscious of the likelihood that the other side might want to take advantage, and being therefore realistic and grown up about the needs for protection of various kinds and the need for each side to be resilient against the other rather than being dependent on the other. That's a very difficult balance to strike. It's not easy to collaborate in ways that nevertheless ensure that you're preserving your independence, that you are not becoming excessively dependent on the party with whom you're collaborating, and that you are sufficiently protected from IP leakage and national security leakage and so on, in order to ensure that you can continue to collaborate without excessive risk. It's not easy, but in my view, it's necessary. And I hope, therefore, that this gathering and many others like it will help to ensure that over the coming decades, instead of moving towards increasing decoupling, we move into an era of more sophisticated and eyes open collaboration and gradually build increasing trust. Thank you.